Chris is reading these chapters from Ephesians, and if you're using the Bibles under the seats, it's page 1174. It's Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22, I think. Yeah. So page 1174. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father in one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Okay, so the option, if my voice goes, is that Andy's going to read my notes and I'm going to mime. Okay, so let's hope that the voice keeps going. So if you're listening on the computer and you're thinking, who is this strange man that's visiting Burwell Baptist Church? It's still me, but I just got a bit of a sore throat. About 3 weeks ago, we started into a new series looking at Paul's comments on life in the Spirit as he wrote to the Christians in Ephesus. We began by recognizing that the life in the Spirit is first of all something that God does to us. It's about him choosing us. He initiated this life. We're chosen, marked out to be God's people, his possession, his letter, and we're under his protection. For those of you wondering what that is, that's a clay seal, and we talked about being sealed in the Spirit. In the second week, we heard the Apostle Paul continuing to hammer home the point that this is all by God's grace, a gift of God, saved by grace, and that this new life in the Spirit is an awesome gift that we couldn't earn and we certainly didn't deserve. So it's initiated by God, it's all by grace, it's all about God. Yet he graciously invites us to be part of his universe-transforming plan. He invites you and I to receive his gifts and to do the work he's prepared in advance for us to do. So life in the Spirit is by grace, through faith, for good works. And last week, we were privileged to have Roger standing here with us, and he reminded us that the Spirit himself is the gift of God. God gives himself to us, and he dwells in us by his Spirit. He reminded us that he is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness. And we thought about the ways in which Paul encouraged Timothy to cooperate with that Spirit, to fan into flame the gift of God. In particular, Roger spoke about the purifying work of the Spirit living and active in us. Well, in today's reading, we hear that Jesus removed the barrier for our unity with God and with each other through his death on the cross. He dealt with our inability to meet the requirements of the law. Now, all who trust in Jesus have access to the Father by the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We're being joined together to become a holy temple in the Lord. We're being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So I hope you're starting to see how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work together in this awesome task of bringing us together, those that were far away and those that were near, to be built together into a dwelling place, a place where God can reside by his Spirit. A purified people, a unified people. This new temple consists of individuals filled with the Spirit, unified into one body through the one Spirit. Last week we thought about the holy fire falling at Pentecost. And right through the Bible, fire has been at the heart of God's dwelling place. If you think back, the burning bush, the pillar of fire, the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, and each of the temples in Jerusalem, fire was at the heart of the sacrificial system. And here it spoke of God's purifying presence through the sacrifices. In a sense, that fire was done away with at the cross. No longer necessary for the burnt sacrifices to be brought daily, with thousands of animals being sacrificed in our place. Jesus died once and for all. In another sense, it is the Holy Spirit fire that came at Pentecost. And the dwelling place of that fire now is within us, the Spirit who purifies his people. And we become the living sacrifices. So a short aside. It arises out of the passage, but a little aside. I am a charismatic. That means I believe that the gifts that Paul describes in his letter and that Luke talks about in the book of Acts are still available today. I'm not a charismatic primarily because of my experience, my temperament, or my preference, but because I don't find anywhere in Scripture any evidence that the gifts are to cease before the Lord's return. If the Lord had said, we just have to struggle on without the Spirit until he returned, I would have accepted that. But gloriously, that's not what he said. What he said was that the gifts of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit himself are for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Hence, I eagerly desire spiritual gifts for myself and for us as a church. I don't believe that we can achieve the good works he's prepared for us to do without the gifts that come by the Spirit. My experience has been that as the gifts of the Spirit are welcomed and exercised, there's a growth in devotion to the Lord Jesus. And where there is genuine devotion to the Lord, there's a growing openness for the Spirit to do whatever he chooses amongst us, whatever he wants to do in our lives. So I want to see the gift of prophecy released with more power. I want those who have the gift of tongues to be able to exercise it, to minister directly to our spirit. I want more healings. I want more miracles. I want gifts of discernment and knowledge. I want leaders and evangelists and pastors and teachers who are full of the Spirit. I want these gifts to arise from a deep and holy reverence for the giver and a desire to be obedient to his will. And here's the point. We can't wait until we are perfect in holiness before we begin to exercise the gifts. because these gifts are the very mechanism by which God purifies us and unifies us. It is through the Spirit that we have access to the Father. It is by the Spirit that God dwells among us, and it is His active presence which brings holiness. For example, prophecy is a gift which helps us to recognize God's purpose for us today, in contrast to the ways of the world. But we can't wait for those who prophesy to be perfect before they start prophesying, because none of us are perfect. Therefore, the prophetic word is always mixed with some degree of error, personal thought, maybe sinfulness in our own hearts becomes mixed in the message. So we have to discern together what God's will is. But we cannot hope to know God's will, His specific purposes for this time, unless those with the gift of prophecy are prepared to use it. Which brings us back to the passage. This is why we're being built together. The optimist and the pessimist. I'll let you decide who these people are. The cynic and the naive. The trusting and the cautious. Those who are far away and those who are near. To become a dwelling place for God, where we build one another up through the gifts He gives. The Spirit already dwells in every individual believer. As soon as we put our trust in the Lord, the Spirit comes to make His dwelling in us. But the Lord is not content with that. He has made us individually members of His household, but He desires that we be built together. He so distributed His gifts that no individual has all the gifts. And no one, I repeat, underscore and bold, no one is without a gift. The basis of our true unity is the one Spirit. And the path to true unity is the way of love, exercising the gifts of the Spirit. We can't achieve holiness or unity by quenching the gifts of the Spirit in ourselves or in others. So how do we apply that to ourselves today? I love the way that Paul puts this. We too were once separated from Christ, excluded. Without the covenant promises, without hope, without God in the world. Isn't it glorious how God has moved us from there to where we are in our relationship with Christ? Ricky and I agree. Karen agrees as well. That's great. That's brilliant what God has done in bringing us from that place where completely without hope, entirely by grace, He's moved us to that place of relationship with Himself. We were separated from Christ, excluded, without the covenant promises, without hope, without God in the world. But we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace, the basis of our peace with each other and with God. We build at Burwell Baptist Church, we build on the solid foundations of the apostles, prophets, and with Christ as our chief cornerstone. What a foundation to build on. The Lord is then building a dwelling place for Himself among us, amongst you and I, in the midst of Burwell. In Jesus Christ, He's laid the foundation stone, all the fullness of God in bodily form. That's the foundation stone. All the fullness of God in bodily form. At this point, I'm going to blow the throat. All the fullness of God in bodily form in Jesus Christ. That's the foundation. No, you're not excited. All the fullness of God was revealed in Jesus Christ. And God says, that's the foundation stone. That's what I'm building my temple to be. All my fullness dwelling on earth in human beings. In you and me. Wow. This is what God is building. By the Spirit, He dwells in each believer, and now through the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit, He sets about the work of building a temple of living stones. That's why Paul teaches us that the way to build this body up is to follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. That's how we build the body up. So how do we respond to that? What does it look like to eagerly desire spiritual gifts and follow the way of love? I've sort of assumed that you're on board with a plan that God wants to build a dwelling place for Himself, and He wants you to be part of it. He wants you to be part of it. He wants you to be part of it, built together, and that in the midst of it, He's going to reveal His glory as the fullness of God in the church. That's His plan. Sounds like a good plan to me. And I want to be part of that, and I hope that you want to be part of that, wherever God has placed you, that you're going to be building up the body of Christ, that it might be that dwelling place of the Spirit of God. So that's the question then. What does it look like to eagerly desire spiritual gifts and follow the way of love? And here's where the rubber hits the road. What does it look like for you? What does it look like for you if you are eagerly desiring spiritual gifts and following the way of love? What would that look like in your behaviors, in your enthusiasm for asking for God's gifts, in your boldness in using those gifts, in the time that you set aside to wait on God for what you'll give into the body of Christ? What does it look like? What does it look like in the workplace, in the home? What does it look like in the world as you influence companies and businesses and political groups? How does that work out? What does it look like for God to be working through you and in you, dwelling in you? This is not all about supernatural gifts, if we can make that distinction. It's about the way that God expresses His presence in us and through us in all different ways. I'd like you just to think for a little bit about what it does look like for you. And maybe, shock, horror, talk to a couple of people around you about what you think that might look like. So there's the question. What does it look like to eagerly desire spiritual gifts and follow the way of love? And the question you're really answering is, what does it look like for you? So just with the person sitting next to you, if you've not met each other, just say hello. But don't give each other your life history. Just share what that might look like. Okay. Okay, well, having started that conversation off, I know that some of you will just have got started. Some of you finished 3 seconds after you started. Some of you maybe never even got started. Some of you might have said, well, it looks how it is. It looks how it is right now. That is exactly what I'm doing. I'm eagerly desiring what God would do through me, and I'm seeking to follow that way of love. But for most of us, we'd say it looks a little different to how things are right now. Anybody want to say what struck you for yourself, or what might it look like? Come on, have pity on me.
I feel a lot more out of control, and that felt a bit scary.
Okay, so a lot more out of control and therefore a bit scary. Yeah. Out of your control. Yeah. Yeah.
Our conversations around the greatest the gifts is love.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, exercising that in the workplace.
Right.
Certainly the challenges there, not everybody is easy to love.
Yeah.
But actually the very way in which we behave and God working through us in the everyday, through the love that we have for others, and that influences everything that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. So that love that God calls us to is agape love, isn't it? Love for the unlovely, a love for those that don't deserve love. And therefore, whilst we might say some are easy to love and some are more difficult to love, the truth is, if it's agape love, it's not based on whether they're easy or difficult to love. It's based on our decision, our choice to love. That can only arise out of the gift of the Spirit, that he gives us that gift that we might bear the fruit of love. Joy, peace, faithfulness, and so on. Yeah, thank you. Anybody else? What about somebody from upstairs? You're closer to God up there, so you must. Let's have more spiritual things to say. Different or the same as how things are at the moment? Right, so you just struggle with the whole concept, or what might change to be?
Yeah, we didn't really come up with anything.
Okay, so what about other people? Can you come up with suggestions for them? What might it look like generally? This moves it a little bit away from yourself, doesn't it? But somebody was asking you, how can I be more eager? How can I follow that way of love more? What advice would you give them? Might be a good place to start.
Pray.
Read your Bible. Yeah. I'm already doing that, they say. I'm already praying. I'm already reading my Bible.
Open yourself up to more of what God wants to do through you, and don't be afraid.
Great. So open yourself up to what God wants to do through you, and don't be afraid.
Give you boldness, but then to give compassion.
Right. So boldness with compassion. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant.
Use the gifts that God's already given
you. Use those gifts God's already given you. That's great. And that leads me into what I think is probably Paul's... I didn't plan that response, but honestly. But it leads me into what Paul said to the Romans. He talks about being living sacrifices. He says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves, your bodies, as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Don't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So I think Paul's point is this. You've all got a gift. Do it more. Use it more. Whatever that gift is, be more of it. Whatever you are in God, do it. Be it live it large. Let God expand the view of what he can do in and through you with the gift that he's placed in you, because that's what faith means. Recognizing that that gift that he's placed in you can be used for his kingdom purposes to build the body of Christ. So we're going to pray. We're going to continue in worship, and that is a time, therefore, for you to bring your heart to God, to offer yourself as a living sacrifice, to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And it tells us in Philippians that if you're struggling with getting to that point of wanting to eagerly desire, we're told that the Spirit even gives us the will to want and to do God's purposes. So let's pray. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, that as we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but recognize that we can achieve nothing. We recognize, Lord, that if you're going to build a place where you can dwell amongst us like you dwelt in Jesus Christ, that is way beyond the ability of Burwell Baptist Church. But you are able. And we want to be part of that. We want you to take those gifts that you've placed in us and to use them together with others here, Lord, that they might grow, magnify, and build the body of Christ, that you might dwell here. That is our desire. Help us, Lord, in our individual and corporate life to live that out. Amen.